now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmack, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
Hello and welcome to TTN at the Movies. I am Mr. Fourth Row and I have a friend here going to review a couple movies, special movie events that we have done. Welcome Daisy with me. Daisy, say hello to everybody on the TTN.
Hello everyone.
So we recently, in the last few weeks, went to go see my favorite movie, which is Back to the Future, and it was a special screening at what they call a pop-up bark at downtown Denver, and it was like just a few blocks away from Coors Field. So if you anybody out there is familiar with lower downtown Denver, that's where it's at. And so it was kind of more of an experience and all that kind of stuff like that. But we'll talk about the movie as well. So I'm assuming this is probably more than a handful of times that you've probably seen Back to the Future.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I think the first experience was when it was first released. My favorite actor is Michael J. Fox. So I've seen it, I would say, a total of 8 or 9 times. Since growing up, and also just recently in the last year or so.
Yeah. Well, I've seen it quite a few times. I also have kind of like the proverbial Beatles wipe album, where you have purchased it on LP, cassette, 8-track, stuff like that. So I actually have this movie on DVD, on Blu-ray, on digital. On digital HD, you know, pretty much everything you can possibly have. So, doesn't really ever get old to me, the movie, at all. I still enjoy it, even though I know what the outcome is. But there was one thing you said that you saw in there that you didn't realize that a certain person was in the movie.
Was it the person? Oh, it might have been. I know, like, the first scene when it was coming on was... they have, like, all these clocks, and I've never seen the Denver Broncos clock, which was crazy, because I'm, like, out of all the times that I've ever seen that, like, there's an old-school throwback Denver Broncos 1980 logo of that clock, and then I think, I can't remember who the actor was. Who was it?
Well, you didn't realize, I think, that Huey Lewis was in the movie.
Oh, yeah. It was. Yeah, that was, like, kind of a shocker because, like, I love Huey Lewis in the news.
Too.
I love that music. But it's also, like, I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, wait a minute, is that Huey Lewis? And they were like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, darn. Like, I have seen this movie, like, so many times. How did I miss the fact that Huey Lewis is in there?
Right.
So, you know, as the, you know, a member of the band in there, so it was really awesome.
Yeah, well, he was the guy that was going to choose which band was going to play at the upcoming thing at the event at the school, I believe, and I thought it was kind of ironic that his line was, "I'm sorry guys, you just are too darn loud." And I was like, isn't that kind of ironic, because Huey Lewis and the News is a rock band, and they kind of have the same kind of, play the same kind of music, so, yeah, I definitely like them, too. They're probably one of my favorite bands, and mostly because of the movie, but they have a lot of great albums as well. So, I think one thing we're going to talk about, too, is our experience in this. So, we went to this pop-up park, and I think I wasn't necessarily doing it on purpose, but I was trying to get a good, like, seat away from the screen, because it's one of those inflatable screens that they do a projector on. And I think we actually sat in the fourth row. What do you think?
Yeah, we were. I mean, that was by accident, but you forgot the food. You totally forgot the food.
Well, yeah, we're talking about the experience, so we'll talk. So we got some food before the movie. They had a food truck there. Well, there was probably a lot of food trucks in that area because this was on a Friday night. But the one that was really close was really good. It was Gyros.
Yeah, so we had Euros. Those were really good. I will tell you that I think those were the best so far that I've had since, I think, like, since I traveled to Greece. It was very authentic. The gentleman there, the actual owner of the truck, he had told me that he grew up in Greece and that he was out there and he made it a visit. He came out to Denver and stuff, so he grew up.
Yeah.
Right around Corfu and Rhodes. So he knew the areas where I had been to. So it was nice to make that connection. And then also not only to get the taste of Greece again without having to travel thousands of miles, but to actually connect with the owner of the truck. I think that was fantastic.
And tell the listeners why you were in Greece, because you're a little bit of a world traveler.
Yeah, so I was in the Navy for 12 years. So my my fun adventure was back in 1997. We deployed, and my first adventure, I would say my first deployment, I actually got to see Europe. So at 18 years old, I was in Europe, and I got to go to Corfu, Greece, Rhodes, Porta de Mallorca. We went to Cannes, France. We went pretty much everywhere. That was actually because I was on board the USS John F. Kennedy. So, and for the Kennedy name, was we were traveling to do a tour guides, and we were welcoming because we were the first ship to go to Corfu, Slovenia, after they were liberated from the Czech Republic or
right.
Something along that lines. So, yeah, so it was a great experience to not only be part, to see the people from those lands, but also to just have the cultural experience and being a military member, to be welcomed with those type of arms. You know, a lot of, you know, there are different countries that you would meet that were potentially hostile, but amazingly, just because we were on the ship, the USS John F. Kennedy, was that we were actually welcomed no matter what country we were in. And that includes going to Bahrain. So Bahrain was, if you know where it is, it's in the Suez. We had to go through the Suez Canal. And that was very hot. But it was also nice because once we were only allowed to get on the base, and then once we went off the base with me being a female, I had to be escorted by a bunch of males. So once we got off the base, it was limited, but we were actually welcomed in the town. So it wasn't, you know, as scary as everyone thinks. So that was my experience. And my favorite thing about Greece is the fact when you see photos of Greece, it looks exactly what it looks like, if not more beautiful. So if you were to look straight down into the ocean, you can actually see the coral below. It's so clear and such beautiful people that live there, and they're so welcoming, I would say. So yeah, so that was my experience, is to be able to meet someone that was from there and understood that I had been there, and for us to experience the great food. And
yeah.
You got to try a gyro. I had the lamb gyro. You had the beef one.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and what's nice is that the food truck itself, like, they made everything fresh there.
Right.
So it was just like when I was in Greece.
Yeah. It was good. I enjoyed it. I don't necessarily like too spicy of food, and it was just the right amount of spice for me to handle. So, and it was good. It was something listeners to the week in review, that is STD, something totally different. So, and have that too. So, So other than that, we got to watch the movie. They did do a couple trailers from YouTube. So you tried to make it like a little bit of a movie experience. So I thought that was kind of interesting that they had. And then as the movie kind of progressed a little bit later, you know, this was totally free to the public. Because it's in lower downtown Denver, and once the sun started setting, we got to see a good cast of colorful characters walk through and join us. You want to mention the one that you got a little entertainment out of?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I love this man, okay? So probably we'll never see him again, but he was, I would imagine that he's a homeless person because he had, like, he had this, like...
Huge backpack,
but it also doubled as, like, a cot.
Yeah.
So it was, like, it had, like, these rods and stuff. It looked like a hunting contraption or something like that. But he was so funny, and I get very distracted. Like, I'm watching a movie, but I'm also distracted by people. So he had his... whatever he was drinking, I would imagine. I think it's, like... it looked like he was drinking some schnapps there.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Something.
But he was so, like, he was in the front row, and he was all excited because he was watching, like, you know, watching a movie, and he was like, oh, yeah, oh, I love this part. So he had, like, really good commentary. And then the couple with the baby, like, it was funny because I'm like, why would you take the baby out when it's super loud? And, you know, it was interesting. And then the two ladies that had, they must have gotten off the train or from Union Station, and they were walking through, and they parked their bag, their luggage, and they sat and watched the movie and stuff, and then they would continue going on. Or, you know, the ones that were taking a break to have a slice of pizza before they go out to on the town. So there was a lot of interesting people. And then I think after the game let out, it was really cool because people were coming in from after the Rockies game, and as they were passing by, they were like, oh wow, let me stop, and they were like stopping on the way to watch parts of the movie. So I think that was the coolest part down there.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is that Back to the Future is one of those movies that everybody pretty much knows, and they can like see just like two scenes, and it's like, oh yeah, you know, I know what movie that is, and they'll like you just said, they'll stop and for a second and watch like a scene or two, and like, oh okay, and then if they're not necessarily there for it, they'll just keep on going, but like, you know, like we are. But you know, we also got lucky since it was outdoors and it was possible rain. I think we got rained on for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It felt like two raindrops. It was really weird. So that was kind of fun. I think that's pretty much kind of like all the weird experiences that we had actually during the movie.
Yeah. So let's talk about after.
After. Okay. So after the movie was over, we decided to park at the Greyhound bus terminal. Shout out to Kiwi Tuts because he's in the bus transportation business. So we parked there because it was really cheap and it wasn't too far to walk. But when we got there, we were getting ready to leave. This couple approached us, asking us if we wanted to take some eggs from them. Was it eggs?
Yeah, it was eggs.
Eggs originally, yeah. Yes. And we're like, because they said they had bought too many. And that kind of stuff and like that. So we're like, yeah, okay. So we did. And then like not like a few seconds later, they came over. Oh, do you want to take these pizzas? And was there some cheese? And then another carton of eggs.
Another carton of eggs, and then bacon, which I still have bacon.
She still has bacon here.
I still have cheese.
This stuff was bought at Costco, and so if people don't know what Costco is, or maybe a Sam's Club, but it's a bulk food place where you buy food in bulk, And so we realized after we saw them and were leaving, it's like, you know, those people were actually there at the thing as well, because we noticed them because they looked like they were traveling because they had luggage with them as well. But they said something about, well, they didn't have a refrigerator in their hotel room when they were supposed to. So that's why they needed to get some of the refrigerated stuff taken care of, disposed of, or given away or whatever. So yeah. That was kind of interesting experience. And it's like, how are you going to expect that's going to happen to you when you go see a movie like this?
Yeah, so I think it was a little awkward, a little off-putting, but at the same time, like, I've been there before where I'm like, oh, what do you do with this when you don't have, like, a freezer or you don't have enough room, and you're like, oh, here, someone take it, you know? It's kind of like with military moves. Like, I've had that where the movers actually will not take open packages. Like, if you have a box of cereal that's open, they won't pack it for a military move. They, like, you have to eat everything that's open. So, and you still have the stuff that's in your refrigerator, so you have to clear all that stuff out. And if you're doing a military move overseas, it's like, well, what do you do with this stuff? So, we used to have to go along the neighbors and call people and say, oh, could you, like, take this? Or, like, one of my friends, like, we did her, she was having a moving party because she was selling her house. And we just, like, ended up having, it was everything that needed to be cooked out of the fridge because no one could take it. So it was like this giant, don't bring anything, just come over and eat all of it.
It's a potluck without bringing the potluck. It's going to be dinner, breakfast, and lunch.
Yeah, so it's one of those experiences where you're like, okay, I totally feel you. I will take care of it. But it was the most interesting thing that I've had happen. And believe me, there were some things that I consider, like that bacon is super thick and it's got a lot of fat on it. I don't know about y'all, but I don't really cook with a lot of fat.
Yeah.
And I was scared. I still have, like, a package of it. And I don't know how you could eat that in a week. Like, how can you live on a diet of thin pepperoni pizza that leaks a lot of grease when you bake it?
Yeah, it was greasy.
It was super greasy. Like, I love pizza, but not...
Yeah.
Not that. It wasn't even, like, New York pizza. Like, New York pizza is awesome. But this was that there was like two cartons of 18 count eggs. You had 2 1.5 pound thick bacon and then an entire tray of cheese. And mind you, that pepperoni pizza, there's like 4 count pizzas in there.
Right.
I mean, what are you living off of? Omelets, bunch of cheese, bunch of eggs, and oh, let's throw some pizza in there. Not very healthy, so, and I'm a health nut, so, yeah, there's certain things that I do, but, wow,
yeah,
that was a lot of grease, but, yeah, so.
So, she made out pretty well that night, so, other than that, the movie, Back to the Future, is it one of those movies that, for me, it's one of those movies that I can watch over and over again. A lot, just because that's why it is my favorite movie. I'm always entertained. If I catch it on TBS or something like that, if I'm flipping channels, I'll go ahead and watch it, even if it's in the beginning or in the middle somewhere. Back to the Future, do you enjoy it? What do you think of it? Is it a movie that holds the test of time?
I do. I love the movie for the whole characters and stuff, and because the science in it. My biggest thing is the science, is that, you know, even though you have to hear, what's his name, Doc Brown? Doc Brown talks about the gigawatts and stuff. I'm just like, it's amazing that he had figured out, and this goes back to when I was a kid, is I had to do this assignment on Ruth Goldberg.
Okay.
And if you're familiar with Ruth Goldberg, is you had to be able to drop a ball, and then it would have a reaction. So where there is an action, there's a reaction.
An opposite and equal reaction.
It's nice to see that, because when I was learning about that in school and had to write a paper on it and had to create my own contraption, it was nice. It just reminds me every time I've seen that movie of the science behind it and where I was when I learned about, like, I didn't play Mousetrap when I was a kid because my dad didn't have those. We had, like, we played outside a lot. So, to actually have that knowledge and know how to make your own one and see that movie of, okay, this is, if the ball drops here, then that can of food for the dog. That kills me every time that
for big Einstein.
Clump of dog food for Einstein was just like crazy. And then the other one is like how he figures out to run the cable across the way, across the street, so that when the time machine, the DeLorean comes through and it hits it, hits the clock tire, and then like with Doc Brown, like, he's hanging from the clock.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that takes a lot of courage. Yeah. To walk all the way up the stairs. And, you know, no matter how many times I've seen that movie, I think there's different things that you notice.
Yeah.
And that's with a lot of movies. Like, I had a roommate where she would only watch a movie once, and that was it. And there are things that you miss if you don't watch it.
Enough. And also in different formats. So if you watch it like at home versus like on a big screen, like when they do special events like this, on a inflatable screen, or even on a big screen at a theater, sometimes you'll miss like a little certain something small, like a clock.
Yes.
That you may not see at home.
Right. So. You know, and I think like the other part that I love about this movie is with the whole skateboard thing. Because my dad would tease me. He told me, I was going for my 20-year reunion, and he says, you know what you should do? You should take a skateboard with you. Like, have a theme for skateboards, because they had skateboards the whole time while you kids were growing up. And I'm like,
yeah.
I don't think that was, like, in 96, but okay. You know, but it also reminds me of the time that my dad actually tried to skateboard himself, and he kind of fell off. He got on it for, like, maybe 5 or 6 seconds, and then he fell off and hit his butt on the ground. So that was, like, super entertaining because he got up and he was like, I'm all right. And he walks it off. I'm like, okay. So, I mean, how many kids can say that your dad tried to skateboard in front of you in the 80s? So, yeah, but that's
funny.
That's a fun one. And then I think the soda shop. The soda shop where... Marty goes in and he notices that it's his dad.
Oh, the beginning? Yeah.
Yeah, the beginning.
And they're both holding the back of their heads and they both
turn
at the same time. Like, why?
It's so weird. Yeah. And I'm just like, I didn't notice that until this year when we watched it. So there were certain things that kind of stick to me and stay with me.
Yeah. Well, like I said, because it's my favorite movie, I'm pretty good on knowing the pretty movie all the time, all the scenes. My favorite probably part in the whole movie is when they're doing the mock-up of how they're going to send him back into the future with the jumper cables, the electricity. And, you know, number one, he goes, sorry for the crudity of the scale. I haven't had time to paint it. And I'm like, damn, that's still pretty damn good. But then right after that, when they actually... gets the electricity on the thing, and then the car starts on fire and runs off the course, off the table, and goes and catches those oily rags on fire, and Doc Brown goes, oh, that's my favorite whole part of the movie. Because he's wearing the protective goggles at the same time, and just that face, because Christopher Lloyd is such a great character actor, you know, with Taxi, with Doc Brown, you know, and everything else he's done. Of course, he's also been in, you know, one of my other favorite movie franchises, Star Trek. He was played a Klingon. In Star Trek 3. So, as Kirk's nemesis in there. I think it was Clegg, I think, but I forget. Not exactly good with Klingon names, but I just love Christopher Lloyd.
Well, and like with the goggle thing, like now that you mention it, he kind of looks like a minion when he does that.
Minion.
Like, yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh, man. Like, I knew it was like a hint right there. Minions! But yeah, it was funny. I think the other, like, I got a kick out of the fact that Marty has that truck that he's had his dream on, and, you know, and at the end he's like,
The future got changed.
The future got changed, so it was weird, and then...
Well, and did you notice, because when the future got changed, when he came back, the name of the mall changed?
I did not. Oh, my gosh. Oh. Now I got to see it again.
Okay, so if you look at the mall, when he first showed up, when he first met Doc Brown at the mall, it was called Twin Pines Mall. You know, he said, hey, meet me at Twin Pines Mall at something we called him, and he showed up that sign when he was skateboarding in to that where the parking lot, the road in the parking lot changed. It was Twin Pines Mall. Uh-huh. Well, after he came back, it got changed to Lone Pine Mall. And that was because, you remember when he landed in the farmers, when he came back, he ran over and killed one of those pines, and the farmer says, you killed my pine, you bastard. Because remember he ran over one of them?
Yeah,
so just something you'll have to see. Like I said, I'm well-versed in the movie, because I've seen it so many times, and it's my favorite movie. So you'll see that got changed as well.
Wow, now I got to watch it again.
Fine with me. I'll watch it. And like I said, it's one of those movies I'll watch all the time. So, yeah. So, it was a fun time. So, if you hear in the background, that's our little bear.
This is our mascot. He goes everywhere. If you know him, his name is AG.
He just got his voice fixed today.
Yeah. He goes everywhere. So, yeah, I moved a little bit, so he said, no, why can't you? Why can't you stay in one spot? So, yeah.
So it was a good fun time. Did you enjoy it?
I did, yeah. It was a great time.
It was an experience.
It was a very entertaining experience. I was, you know, I had a great time, actually.
Yeah.
I think that was the best so far. I mean, I think watching that movie outdoors kind of takes you back to... the drive-ins and all that other stuff. So it was really nice to do, especially since it wasn't too hot, it wasn't too cold, it wasn't raining. So
yeah, and it started. They made sure it started after it got dark, which definitely helped. So all right. So we're going to now review another movie I've only seen a couple times, and Daisy has only seen just this one time. And that is The Wrestler, which is starring Mickey Rourke and Marissa Tomei. We went to go see it at an event in conjunction with, as you guys know, one of my local promotions in Colorado is the Rocky Mountain Pro. Well, they had a wrestling event followed by the movie at the Alamo Draft House. And I think some of you listeners out there are familiar with the Alamo Draft House, that it's, you know, kind of a more upscale movie theater. They do a lot of events and movies like this. So they decided, they've done events there before. This is the first one they've done this year. And so they had a little bit of a wrestling matches beforehand, and then we got to go see the movie. Daisy's been at a couple of events with me to Rocky Mountain Pro. In fact, before that we had gone to Milestone, which is Rocky Mountain Pro's big annual event, which that was just a crazy frenzy of a show, and I just can't wait for it to come on Fight TV. Cheap plug for those guys. And you know, my other podcast, What's on Fight, we'll definitely be reviewing that. So let's just, we'll talk about the wrestling part of it really quick. It was pretty good. It was great. Got to see a lot of people.
Yeah. I think, my biggest one, like, there, I love the ladies. Okay. So shout out to the ladies.
Yeah.
Rochelle.
One of the newest ones on the roster was
really good. Unholy Trinity, my favorite. Allie Gatto
was there.
I love Allie. She's my girl.
And also Aria Aurora, They were in a tag team match, I believe, right?
Yeah,
they were in a tag team match.
So it was actually pretty good because I think, you know, to watch the girls get out there and do the street fight, it was kind of like a street fight, but I thought it was going to go one way, but it actually went the other way. Yeah. So instead of Unholy Trinity and Rochelle winning, it ended up being Allie and what's that other girl's name?
Aria Aurora?
Yeah, Aria Aurora. Yeah. So, but, you know, their sportsmanship and stuff, like, they're always looking out for each other. It's always entertaining for me. I think, you know, they're good showgirls and, you know, they get out there. They even go up against the guys, which I think is really funny.
Yeah.
But they're tough cookies there.
Yeah. So. And I think, if I remember correctly, they were the last match before they did the movie. I think they let the women wrestle last.
Yes.
So, so they all the men wrestled first, and there was some tag teams.
Hunter was there. Mario
was there.
Woo!
And Stephen Ashburn was there wrestling.
Naya
was there. Zero Cool and Dustin Ulrich were wrestling. I forgot who they wrestled against. Some of the other new people were there. Jason Knoll and Tremaine Island were there. Also, one of the new members, I can't think of his name right now, that's going to be in season 3 of Rocky Mountain Pro, was there.
Ashburn was there.
Yeah, Ashburn, yeah, I said that.
Yeah.
So there was quite a few people. Filter was there. I think Filter and Anaya had just actually come from Pueblo that day, so they drove probably... That's probably about 2 hours.
Yeah.
To get from Pueblo back up to Littleton, which is where this was at.
Yeah.
So they made a good trek to get there to wrestle.
Well, and I think the other part of it is, you know, with every time that Rocky Mountain Pro guys come out, they do a fantastic job. Especially with Matt does really good.
Yeah.
You know, help assisting, and the commentator is really good. I think the other part of it is I've never seen the actual ring get taken down.
Yeah.
I think that was the most entertaining thing, to see it come down. And there's some really big chunks of wood on that thing. And I think, like, when I got to stand in the ring, I think it was kind of... I thought it would be, like, bouncier. Like, it's bouncy, but it's not, like, too super bouncy.
Right.
So... It's different. It's not like a trampoline where you can just keep bouncing up and down.
Yeah.
So, but it's got enough give. It kind of reminds me of the MMA rink, too.
Yeah.
I can't think of any. But, yeah, it was quite entertaining to watch them take the boards and have to get it outside of the movie theater.
Right. And everybody has to help tear down the ring.
Yeah, so, no matter who they were.
Everybody was out there doing something. They were taking the boards out or rolling up the mat or taking the ropes off. Everybody had to do something.
Well, and Rochelle, her grandma was there.
Yeah.
So, and man, she was like, go get her, girl. She was all into it. So, shout out to grandmas and moms and family members that are supportive.
Yeah.
Because, wow, there was a lot of energy going on in there.
Yeah.
You know, but it was nice.
That was fun.
It was nice to see.
Yeah. So after that, we did a little bit of an intermission while they're setting up tearing down the ring. And then we got to see the wrestler. Wrestler is was done in 2008. If, you know, you guys don't know what the wrestler is, of course, starring Mickey Rourke. A professional wrestler that has gone through his glory days. Now he's pretty much down and out. I kind of called it a little of a melancholy kind of film because he's kind of down. He's got a lot of issues, drug issues, a strange relationship with his daughter, things of that nature, and just crazy. And one of the things is that Marissa Tomei plays a exotic dancer, and so he's he's sweet on her. He likes her a lot, I guess would be the nice thing to say.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. He's basically, I would call it, he's kind of looking for a friend. And because he doesn't have anybody else. He doesn't have anybody. He's got nobody. He lives in a trailer park, and sometimes he's late on his rent and gets locked out of his trailer park.
Yeah. And has to sleep in his van. So
yeah.
That was entertaining. But, you know, I think the one thing is that the character itself is, you know, he loves the kids and he spends kids love time him. With the kids.
Yeah.
And everything, and they love him back, and they kind of just help him be encouraged through that film. Marissa Tomei, wow, she is so beautiful. I'll say that, like, she's, I don't think she's ever changed. Like, my cousin Vinny, like, that's the first time I've ever seen her, like, in one of those films. My first experience of her was with my cousin Vinny. But this one, to see her in a different role, she was very good with the drama, because it was a drama. It wasn't a comedy. It wasn't, you know, she was actually down to earth. She had her responsibilities. She had her child that she was taking care of, and she was a single mom. So it was nice to see her in that type of scenario in this movie. The other part of it is the daughter of the wrestler, their relationship seemed as though, like, she blamed him for a lot of stuff, for not being there for her and everything, whereas he knew that he couldn't because he was working. So there was that hostility, I think, in between is what I picked up on.
Right.
So yeah, that was my take on that relationship. And then with the wrestler and Marissa Tomei is, yes, he wanted companionship. I mean, like,
right.
You know, like most of us, we want companionship, and that's what he was looking for. But because she had that rule about he's a client, I can't get involved. If he's a customer, is, you know, that's where you draw the line of a professional. But at the same time, as she showed interest in him, she was kind of conflicted with that. Of I show really, you know, I really care for him, and I. Looking out for him, I think that kindness that she had in her heart really tore at her while she was working.
Yeah, so. And she came around towards the end of the movie because she actually showed up at that big event with, you know, one of his biggest rivals. At the end, she was trying to catch up to him and just missed him before he. Went out to go to the ring to wrestle, so that was kind of showing that she was coming around to that point.
Yeah, and I think he did actually talk to her because she arrived and she started talking to him, and he said, no, he's like, this is what I do.
Yeah.
And he goes out to wrestle, and she's more concerned because, I mean, with all the health issues that he had in that movie, from the drugs and, you know, everything is
the heart attack.
His heart attack and everything, like, that was really hard. And the doctors had told him that he wasn't supposed to be out there doing the wrestling anyway.
Yeah.
And she wanted to keep him there, and for him to go out and go wrestle because he just felt the need to, rather than his own personal health. I think that was, like, she couldn't watch him do that to himself, you know, towards the end. Kind of still want to know what happened to the wrestler, because they kind of just showed that last scene, and that was it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what happened? And, you know, of course, there were some other things, though. So, I was told, my illusion has now been shattered, just so you know. To have him wrap up a razor blade in his arm, like... Oh. What is that? What is that?
Okay, so we'll address this. So for people that don't know, Daisy is not that big of the ins and outs of wrestling. She knows the basics, but doesn't know that sometimes for the cuts and blood spots in the thing, it's actually self-inflicted. So when the scene happened where he broke up a razor blade and taped it onto his wrists so that he can cut himself during the match. She didn't know that that actually happened, so it was kind of cool seeing that that side. So she wasn't know that, you know, that's what I was telling her. You know, sometimes the wrestlers bleed the easy way, which is that it's self-inflicted, you cut yourself, or the hard way when sometimes it's just an accident because they hit their head on a turnbuckle wrong or the rope wrong or something like that. So she got the fourth wall broken on her there with that.
It was so like, I was so like, oh yeah, like, oh my gosh, is he okay? Like, he's totally bleeding. that guy needs medical attention. No, he doesn't. He's fine. Okay. But yeah, I mean, I think that was the biggest thing, because like, we had gone to one of the wrestling matches with Rocky Mountain Pro, and
recently, yeah,
just recently, and I was like
a couple days before,
like, oh my gosh, has so and so's head healed? And you know, Mr. Fourth Row here goes, well, yeah, don't you know that it was, you know, self inflicted? I was like, wait, what? I'm like, oh, seriously, like, how am I supposed to know that? I'm thinking the guy got a concussion. You know, he needs we have to go through some concussion, you know, protocol here, like you do with all athletes. You know, no, it's fine. He's wandering around. Okay, you know, but I think it's my like knee-jerk reaction.
Right.
But I think in this movie, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, you just cut yourself on purpose. I'm sorry. I would never do that. Like, I cut myself with cooking knives and stuff, but, you know, that's on accident, not on purpose.
Right.
So, I don't know. I was just shocked.
Yeah.
That happens on purpose.
And, you know, there was a... I forgot, because it's been a while since I've watched it, but there... to kind of... throw a little bit of breaking the fourth wall here. Daisy is, can I go ahead and say that she's a Catholic, and so some of the scenes in the movie were a little explicit for her.
It was a little too much for my little eyeballs. I will say that I will be going to confession for most of the thoughts that I had in that moment of, oh my gosh, like, what's going on here? But it's not like I haven't seen it overseas. It's just, I don't watch that kind of stuff.
Right.
In my own home.
Yeah.
You know, but if, you know, it's out there.
Yeah.
Can't really.
And I would agree that it's sensationalizing the movie. The movie really wasn't about that. It's about the down and out of the character, Randy the Ram Robinson.
Yeah.
It's more the down. It's supposed to be the down and out. It's supposed to be good. And I had forgotten some of the things, too, that, you know, the Abdullah the Butcher, who the guy that played that was actually a wrestler. That he's most famous for his run in WCW as Ernest the Cat Miller.
Oh.
So I thought that was kind of cool. And they were filming that big revival rematch in a Ring of Honor ring, which is, you know, one of the competitors to WWE.
Yeah.
So I forgot that was in there too, because that was only at the end. After seeing that, you know, because when they were like in the VFW doing autographs and things like that, you forget that. And he was looking around at his peers and going, God damn, we are old, you know. He was thinking that, you know. It's like, what am I doing here with these people? I'm not one of these old people, but he needs to come to the realization that he is one of these old people.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I was like, oh wow, why are they in a VFW? And I was like, okay, you know. But it was kind of interesting for them to encompass that, like,
yeah,
and use that as a as a place where they did sign autographs, and then also look at the people that were there that were coming.
Yeah. I was talking more of his peers, the ones that were doing the autographs. You know, they're all beat up, and, you know, you know, in wheelchairs or canes, you know, have amputated appendages, things of that nature.
And, you know, and to have them in the VFW, I think it's a great place for them, too.
Well, they do a lot of it. A lot of times they do events at VFWs, a lot of these independent promotions or free market promotions.
Well, so. And then the other part was that I liked was when Randy the Ram goes and takes his daughter to the beach, that pier, and they break into it, and he actually dances with her.
Yeah.
I think that was a great father-daughter moment.
Right.
But it was also, like, when reality hit back that he disappointed her.
He still screws up.
Yeah, he still makes the mistake.
Right.
You know, and he tries to make it up. But, you know, overall, I think it was a great movie.
Yeah.
Well,
let me tell you something. A couple things about the movie. It did get nominated for a couple awards. It got nominated for a Best Performance by an Actor Oscar. Nominated for Best Performance by an Actress. It did win a Globe Award for Best Actor for Mickey Rourke. These were, of course, all in 2009. It won another Golden Globe for Best Original Song by Bruce Springsteen. Nominated for Golden Globe for an Actress. But it did win the BAFTA Award, which the BAFTA Award, if my understanding is correct, there, listeners, the BAFTA is basically the Oscar, but for Britain, for Great Britain, UK, United Kingdom. So it did win that. So it did get a lot of recognition. Nominated for BAFTA for Best Supporting Actress for Marissa Tomei. Did get another nomination for the AARP Movies for Grownups Awards for Best Actor. And is also nominated for Best Movie for Grownups, the Grownups Awards. It did win the AFI Movie of the Year, and it also won for the Alliance of Women Film Journalists for Bravest Performance Award for Mickey Rourke. Nominated for an EDA Award for Mickey, as well as a Special Mention Award, a nominee. and then, just like we were just talking about, Best Depiction of Nudity or Sexuality, both for Mickey Rourke and Marissa Tomei, nomination.
I honestly think it was way better than Magic Mike. And I've seen Magic Mike, but this one is a really interesting movie, ladies.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now.
So just a little interesting little things there. When I heard that it won the BAFTA Award, I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting, because, you know, that is basically the best movie for, like I said, I believe for Great Britain and United Kingdom. So if I'm wrong, tweet at me, let me know. So other than that, did you enjoy the movie? Was it definitely worth watching? Definitely worth seeing? Did it kind of also coincided great, because it was a good movie to pair with the live wrestling we saw from Rocky Mountain Pro.
Yeah, no, I honestly love the movie, of course, you know, but you did forget the main little movie that we did get to see.
Oh.
Before.
So.
Before the main attraction.
Yeah, so if you guys haven't been to the Alamo Draft House, they like to, as a lot of movie theaters do, instead of just the regular slides of, you know, guess this word jumble or things like that, they actually have videos and weird videos and, you know, little things, stuff like that. So, I don't know if you guys know Bat Fight.
Yeah. But Bat Fight.
Bat Fight. And it was Will Ferrell and the other comedian from The Office. I can't think of his name. But they were basically going around and around in a circle in a parking lot. They were, you know, just doing this skit thing like that, and just like what Will Ferrell will do. So Craig Robinson, is the guy. He's the, you know, he's a comedian. He's in, of course, in The Office, and you know, I think he tours as well, too. I like him. He's very funny. But they had a kind of thing, and it was all this build-up, them circling each other and, you know, singing and trash-talking singing, and et cetera, et cetera. And then it was just...
I mean, just one blow, man. One
blow.
So, I was like, I'm glad that I got to watch it, like, a few times, you know, while we were waiting during intermission before the movie started, but I was like, oh my gosh, that's Will Ferrell. Yeah. Like, who's that other guy that I've seen before?
Yeah.
And just, I'm like, there's this, like, Bat Fight, and it's a really catchy song.
Yeah, Bat Fight.
Bat Fight. But yeah, I mean, that one was really good, and then I think the other one where it was, like, things about hygiene.
Yeah.
I think that part was funny, like, brushing your teeth, and then it says to wash your hands before you brush your teeth, but I don't understand it because, I mean, I do that, but it's still the fact, like, when we were talking, like, they're showing these kids using two hands as a cup of water to drink, like, to rinse their mouth and stuff, but I'm, like, the one cupper person, like, I'm on the one hand.
Yeah.
Right? So, it was the most interesting previews I have seen. I think we should go pack so we can watch some more of that. But the Bat Fight was fitting because we just finished watching wrestling. We're watching something about this, about Bat Fight, and then we went into the movie.
Yeah.
So it went together.
Right.
I think Alamo did a great job with that.
Yeah, so it was fun.
But yeah. So what was your other question that you asked me?
Oh, no, I think that was it.
But, yeah, I'd like to see it again.
Enjoying the movie. Yeah, it's one of those movies. I think I tried trying to parallel this movie, which you say you don't think you've ever seen, the other movie, Leaving Las Vegas, with Nicolas Cage and Elizabeth Shue.
No.
Because it was kind of like, I felt that was the best way to explain it before we went to go see it, because it was, like I said, it's kind of a melancholy film where it just was like, it was kind of depressing, it was kind of down, and, you know, kind of that kind of thing. So
I would classify it more like one of those where kind of like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I'm sorry, I fell asleep during that movie, but it's not as slow.
Yeah,
you know, or kind of like if you've seen Pink Floyd's The Wall, it has a message with it, but it also at the end of The Wall, it just ends, you know, similar to like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how many times have you seen that movie?
Fear and Loathing?
Or The Wall? Yeah.
I have not, actually.
Yeah, so The Wall is really good. So, it's all of Pink Floyd's, obviously, The Wall.
Yeah.
But there is an animated version of it, which I have people at my office that always want to watch that movie. if you give them a choice, they want to watch the weird ones. So... And I love Pink Floyd, like, crazy. So yeah, I would think it has, you know, it has a message, but that, you know, you have to watch it to let the drama build. So, yeah. It was good. It was a great flick, yeah. Now I gotta watch it again. I probably missed something.
Yeah. Well, I think I have it on DVD somewhere, so I'll let you borrow it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, I think that's all I really have to say. You have anything else to say about our movie experiences?
No, actually, I think we had fun. I will tell you that they make the best iced coffee at the Alamo, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. So.
Not too much of it. Don't drink too much.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because it's kind of really weird. We talked about how we got those. You got those pizzas after at the bus terminal at Back to the Future. So this day, she decided to make one of those pizzas. And I came to pick her up to go to see the wrestler and R&P. And she's like, eat these other two last pizzas because they're just too greasy. So I ate them, and then we went. And then I have an Alamo account, you know, loyalty account. Go in, check in, and they go, oh, by the way, you guys have a free pizza coupon to use up. And I'm like... I do? I was like, we just ate. And I was like, but you can order it to go, or later you can take it to go, you know, order it. And it's like, okay, so it's like, oh, we got pizza twice.
Yeah, but that pizza was way better.
Oh, that pizza was definitely better. Definitely not.
Pineapple? What did we do?
It was a weird, it wasn't Hawaiian pizza, but it had pineapple on it, but it had a lot of other...
had like chicken.
Yeah, it had other, as what I call kind of junk pizza, had a lot of other little things like onions and things on it too. So,
but it was really good.
It was definitely good, and we didn't take it to go. We went ahead and ate it. I mean, figure if you're gonna be there for a couple hours doing the wrestling and the movie, you'll be there for a couple hours. So yeah so it worked out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that their food and drinks, I think, were, you know, really good. The drink prices were awesome, especially because you get free refills.
Yeah.
So, I mean, great deal.
Yeah.
So. Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. That's all we have this time. We're going to probably come back with another episode. We're going to actually, breaking the fourth wall, we're actually going to watch a movie that we got on DVD. We're not going to tell you guys what it is, but we're going to do another episode in the future. So on behalf of my friend Daisy here, this is Mr. Fourth Row. That's my view, not from the cheap seats, not from the most expensive seats, but from the fourth row. Thank you all for listening. Have a good evening, night, day, or whenever you're listening to this. Bye-bye.
Today, nothing's going down when I get out of this sleepy old town. Something's in the air, you're feeling uptight. It's the right mood for a bad fight.
Bad fight,
it's anyone's game.
Bad fight,
the test of wills.
Bad fight,
who's gonna win? Looking for a sign of weakness, totally even, anyone could win. Athletic prowess, let's begin.
Bad fight,
a gentleman's game.
Bad fight,
you know the name. It's a
bad fight,
tensions are high.
Bad fight,
eye for eye. So good.
Bad fight.
Two men connecting with the wood. Circling and circling and circling and circling. Circle in your circle, then you circle some more. You circle, keep on circling and circling and circling. Circling and circling. Checking out your opponent.
Bad fight.
Taking a chance.
Fight.
A game of skill.
Bad fight.
It's easy to do.
Bad fight.
It's done around the world. Generally good natured, you'll have a good time. Only in rare occasions does it get out of hand.
Bad fight.
A game of honor and diplomacy. It's a bad fight. Come on down and see.
Bad fight,
all the children in the world holding hands in hand.
Bad fight.